The Crown summons arrived by hand, the hand being a member of the household in a formal uniform that no one could overlook. Harris took the summons warily. Old-fashioned, imprinted paper, the strokes of a real pen having scored the thick, textured paper with black letters, and wondered what now. Not that it mattered. A Crown summons had the force of law, although no legislation supported it. It was simply inconceivable that someone invited to an audience would refuse. She noted the time and the clothing required. A shuttle awaited her. She could not help but think of Cecilia riding a royal shuttle down, and where Cecilia was now. She suspected she was meant to think of that. The messenger waited in the private meeting room while she changed into her formal uniform. Not as formal as the dress uniform of Fleet, but it would have to do, and told Petrus where she was going and why. His brow furrowed.
You might be going into trouble. One of us should come.
If there's trouble in that direction, one wouldn't help. No, you stay free. Here's the authorization codes for the bank and the lockboxes. Take care of them.
As she left, his hand lifted in the old salute. Make no promises you can't keep. Keep the ones you make. The old words ran through her mind as she walked beside the messenger and saw how passers-by reacted.
We have a problem.
The king looked much like his son Gerald, only older. Was he as foolish? Harris could not let herself think so. If the king had also been damaged, she could see no hope for any but the conspirators who had done it. He paused, and she wasn't sure if it was for her response or a decision.
You have already, with Lady Cecilia, been of service to the crown.
Considering that her entire adult life had been spent as a Fleet officer, this was, Harris thought, an understatement.
You know Gerald, both as himself and as Mr. Smith. You know the problem he has developed.
Yes, sir.
It was all Harris could say, really. She was glad that the Familius had never taken up the full formality of address of past historical periods.
You are in a position to do the crown and the Familius Regnant a great service, if you will.
Of course, sir. It would be a privilege.
Provided it didn't take too long or take her away from Lady Cecilia, she was still determined to find a way to help.
It is a very delicate matter, possibly quite dangerous. I would not consider asking you were it not for your military background, your proven courage, and your discretion.
Which meant it was not just delicate and dangerous, but impossible. Others had been asked, and refused, most likely.
And I will understand if you feel you cannot jeopardize your crew, or if the legal difficulties you face require your immediate presence and participation.
Perhaps if you could tell me a bit more.
Let me be frank, Captain Serrano. I know, of course, your situation vis-à-vis the Belinvaux-Barraclough family. Lady Cecilia left you her yacht in her will. Her relatives contest her mental fitness at the time of the bequest and have charged you with undue influence. They have sufficient standing that the court has agreed to deny you access to the ship while the matter is under adjudication. You turned out to have unexpected monetary resources and unexpectedly good legal advice, thanks to the debt Kevil Mahoney owes you for the life of his son. You may win in the end, but in the meantime you have, unless you find other employment, no income, nor will your crew.
All this, though Harris knew it, sounded grimmer from his mouth than she'd allowed herself to think.
They think you're a greedy, sly woman, capable of insinuating yourself into the affections of an elderly spinster, and possibly capable of doing her actual harm by precipitating a stroke.
He stared at her a long moment, then held up his hand when she opened her mouth.
No, don't answer that. I disagree with them, in part because I've known Ceci all my life, and when she came to talk to me about Gerald, I got an earful about you as well. I've known Ceci, as I said, and she's never been taken in by anyone charming since she was 16 or so. Yeah. She's a superb, if acerbic, judge of character. She's located and remarked on all my failings. Ceci thought you were a rare find, and I abide by her judgment. That's another reason for my request.
Harris tried not to shift about in her chair. She was glad to know the king trusted Cecilia's judgment, but she wished he would get to the point. She distrusted easy compliments and indirection.
Now, without going into all the historical tangles, we've got a mess, the entire Familius Regnant. You saw Gerald's problem. It's not innate. I'm sure you know that many prominent people have doubles.
I had heard of that, sir.
No one knows how many of the heads and heirs of prominent families have them, of course. In the military, except for covert operations, regulations prohibit them for any but flag officers in major military actions. Otherwise, we'd be stumbling all over extra Lieutenants Smith and Brown whenever the real ones wanted to spend an extra 30 days on leave. You can understand, I hope, that the royal family is well supplied with doubles, both for convenience and security. In fact, that's how Admiral Lupescu got Gerald away from Navan without anyone noticing. One of his doubles was there. We're claiming that it was one of his doubles who went to Cerealis, although I'm afraid Bunny won't believe it.
I see.
Harris wondered for a moment if the foolish young man could have been the prince's double. She didn't know the prince, after all. And the crown would have had to respond as if he were, even if he weren't. In that case, maybe only the double was stupid, if the king was telling the truth. It shocked her to realize how she doubted him. The king steepled his hands.
Captain Serrano, I must admit, in confidence, that the person you met as Mr. Smith was, in fact, the prince. The real prince. He is now back on Navan, and his double is safely back in hiding. That's not the problem. As I said, his infirmity is not natural, not inborn, and it was induced in much the same way as I think Cess's stroke was induced. I knew about it, of course, from the beginning. It was the threat. They'd killed Jared, his oldest brother.
Harris remembered that, the assassination of the eldest prince, when she was serving aboard the Stella Maris. The whole fleet had gone on alert, expecting some kind of rebellion, but nothing happened.
Until then, I hadn't used doubles much, certainly not for the children. After that, with Gerald, we switched him around quite a bit. They were proving they could still find him and hurt him without the public scandal of another death.
Do you know who?
We have 3 or 4 major possibilities. You're not a political fool. You can probably figure them out for yourself.
What do you want me to do?
Harris wasn't about to speculate about politics. It wasn't her field. Moreover, it was obvious that the king himself or his faction must be among the possibilities.
I daren't trust any medical facility in the Familius. But beyond the Compassionate Hand, there's the Gurney Republic. They have the best medical facilities in known space. They trade in biomedical knowledge and skill. I want you to take Gerald there and see if his condition can be treated or reversed without killing him. I have his entire medical file. The people responsible actually gave me some of the details to prove they'd done it. Our specialists say they can't do anything without causing permanent damage, even death. I need you. Because I dare not send him by fleet or commercial vessel. Not only would his condition become known, but those responsible would surely intervene. I had planned to ask Cessie if she'd been willing to do it, but then she had a stroke. If it was a stroke.
You want me to steal the yacht out from under the noses of the family, against all law and regulation, and go to Navern and take the prince from there to the Gwerny Republic, which is some dozen worlds around 2 or 3 stars, if I recall, to attempt a treatment you know nothing about? Begging your pardon, but that seems a very strange proposal.
Of course it does. It is a strange proposal. Dangerous.
Suicidal. We'll be outlaws here for having taken the ship when it was under legal dispute. And since we've taken it out of the system, the RSS will be after us as well. It is essential for your plan that we not be known as your agents, and thus you cannot keep the wolves off our track. We can circumvent the Compassionate Hand. It just takes longer. But how are we supposed to pick up the prince when every ship will know we're fugitives already?
Actually, that wasn't such a problem. Oblo had already set up an alternate identity for the Sweet Delight. But the king needn't know that.
As for the Guerny Republic, exactly where did you expect us to deliver the prince? And how long might the treatment take? And suppose it doesn't work. What will happen then? And beyond all that, there's Lady Cecilia. Why should I leave her in peril among those I cannot trust?
Your oath of service, I could have said once, but I see you do not feel bound at all by that anymore.
That stung. Harris felt her teeth grating, but said nothing. She had not broken that oath. Others had broken their trust, had failed her.
If I swore to see that Lady Cecilia was protected, that no further harm came to her, assuming that harm has been done.
With all due respect, since I do not know what happened, I do not know whom to blame. I'm sure you intended no harm in the first place, and yet it happened.
I see.
Harris could almost see the ideas shuffling through his head like a pack of cards. It was an impossible mission, and she would be crazy to accept it. Except, what choice did she have? If she refused it and stayed here, the family would put the yacht in deep storage and her own savings would go to support her and as many of the crew as wanted to stay. She might get other employment, but not with her people, and rumors that she was responsible for Lady Cecilia's condition might keep her unemployed the rest of her life. Without a shuttle, and not even Oblo had found a way to obtain a shuttle secretly, she couldn't get Cecilia off-planet. A ship and a mission, even this mission, was better than nothing.
You do realize that you cannot help Lady Cecilia yourself. She is well guarded, against you in particular. If she has a chance for recovery, it would be with someone else.
Harris nodded, dry-mouthed.
If you were gone, perhaps the level of suspicion would drop. Not that that would help her physical condition, but like you, I hate to think of her living the rest of her time in what must seem like confinement.
The look he gave her then had years of manipulation behind it. Was she cowed enough? Had she taken the bait of that implied promise? Harris stared back at him, almost regretting those years of loyal service. But no, it meant something to her, something she still treasured.
I will give you letters patent. I believe I can trust you not to reveal them, except in direst need.
When, thought Harris, they wouldn't be worth the elegant old-fashioned paper they were written on, no matter its cost. She could just imagine a compassionate-hand pirate merchant holding its fire because of a piece of pressed slush fiber with writing on it. This, like his assurance that he would protect Cecilia, could not be trusted. But her doubts would do her no good. She made herself smile at the king.
Sir, I accept your mission.
At least it meant a ship, a chance, another short space of freedom. And she might, she would, find some way to help Cecilia. Perhaps, as the king implied, if she were gone, the family would let down their guard. The first glimmer of an idea came to her, but she forced it back. She didn't want anything to show in her face. The king sat alone with his uncertainties. He would have liked to confide in that captain, explain all the knots in the tangled mess that had led to Gerald's situation and Cecilia's. He had never meant it to turn out like this. It hadn't been his idea anyway, not the clones or the drugs. He had only wanted to avert another disaster after the deaths of his two older sons. But it was far too late for easy honesty. Harris explained the Crown mission with as little expression in her voice as possible. She had assembled the crew in a private lounge of a respectable hotel, as she'd done at weekly intervals all along, and Oblo had turned on one of his gadgets before she started to speak. Sirkin opened her mouth twice, but subsided. The rest of the crew stared at her without expression.
You realize the whole thing is a trap?
Of course, but we don't have to walk into the trap.
I thought we just did.
So does the Crown. Safer that way. What do you think they'd do if I refused the bait? Kill us off one by one like Sirkin's friend, and certainly finish Lady Cecilia. I don't like that solution. But we're vulnerable as long as we're tied to a ship in dock, and weak if we separate. No. We're going to take their bait. Then we're going to pick up the whole trap and walk off with it.
How?
I don't know yet, but that's the plan.
All strategy, no tactics. Unless just staying out of whatever trap they've set is tactics.
I'll work on it. And here's what I need. You each have your list.
She handed out the handwritten notes. She sat back and watched their expressions. Oblo's brows rose, and he looked up to give her a short nod. Yes, he'd figured it out.
But the Crown gave us permission. Why this?
It was indicated to me that they'd rather we looked like outlaws. I have assurance that it will be cleared up later.
Anything worthwhile?
Yes. And not going with us, though they don't know that. I was given letters patent, empowering us to act as one of His Majesty's fleet in certain matters. To be presented to certain, personages we are unlikely to find where I was told to meet them.
Because...
Petrus gave Sirkin his best civilians are idiots look. Harris glared at him. Sirkin was their weak point. Young, inexperienced, and emotionally vulnerable after Amelie's death. She didn't need any more pressure from any of them.
Because either they aren't there, or the captain expects we won't be, or both. And she's not telling us now because we shouldn't know too much.
Those letters are staying behind in what I devoutly hope are secure locations, which I will not divulge even to my crew.
Kevil Starbridge Mahoney owed her favors. He could jolly well put some unopened documents in his own security files for her.
Suppose we actually find out who's putting the pressure on the king and take it off.
Harris was glad Petrus hadn't yet squashed Sirkin's initiative. The girl was young, but she had promise, and her unmilitary background gave her something the others didn't share.
Fine, if we could do it without having the same pressure land on us. But it's like maneuvers. Getting the fire off someone else doesn't make us safe. Our first priority is staying alive, uncaught by the trap we know about and any others.
And Lady Cecilia? I thought maybe we could...
We can't help her. We're the ones anyone would expect to do something, and for that very reason, we can't.
But someone has to!
Sirkin, we have enough to worry about as it is. Keeping the ship free and whole and ourselves alive in the first place.
Harris signaled the others with her eyes. Time to leave, before Sirkin asked more questions Harris didn't want to answer, especially since she could. They stood, and Sirkin followed, still looking stubborn.
That's all. See you here next week, as usual.
The weekly dinner meeting, which he hoped the Watchers had given up worrying about. Oblo turned off his gadget with a wink.
The courts agreed to hear the case, at least, which I... Well, see you next week if that stinking lawyer doesn't come up with something to drag me downside.
On her way out, she reserved the same room for the same time the following week, as she had from the beginning.
The Serrano Legacy, Sporting Chance, is continued on the next CD.